Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. You are about to hear from retired attorney Fred Van Loo of Van Loo Mediation and Consulting explain the peacemaking process and conflict reconciliation.
Since he retired from being an attorney, Fred has been working on conflict reconciliation and peacemaking in various different situations and communities. These might be workplaces, police departments, in churches where people want to get different groups together. He uses a process he calls peace circles. Fred divides his time between Maine and Iowa mainly. He goes to other communities, but basically he lives half the year in each place, Maine and Iowa. And we're lucky that right now he's here in Iowa, so I was able to speak with him about his peacemaking process. My guest is Fred Van Loo, a retired attorney, Fred Van Loo, J.D., who now runs a company called Van Loo Mediation and Consulting. You do restorative justice, and I have talked to you about that before, but what I'd like to talk about today is some of the less judicial kinds of things. I think you call them peace circles?
Peacemaking circles.
Peacemaking circles.
I guess I would call it a restorative process under the umbrella of restorative justice.
And one area I was particularly interested in is you have done circles, peacemaking process, with supporters of Black Lives Matter and police officers. And I'd love to hear some details about that.
We've got two different things happening here. So we have done circles in Des Moines with the Des Moines police officers and black teenagers, okay? And we call those community justice circles. With Black Lives Matter, that's still happening. We've done a lot of groundwork, met with police, met with protesters, etc. And that particular circle has not been held yet. So we're talking about two different
stages in the process, really.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that brings up another issue, a related thing, which is it takes a long time to prepare people to meet in these circles. And I'd like you to talk a bit more in detail about the process there.
Absolutely. And it depends on the nature of the circle. So you can have a circle as a result of a conflict. Well, you have a circle as a result of a wrongdoing, okay, that has occurred, or an ongoing conflict, or you can have a circle around a theme or an issue. So, for example, Portland, Maine, where I do work for the Portland Center for Restorative Justice, we do community conversation circles, you know.
Which you've now started in Des Moines, too, right?
Yes, with race as the primary issue, right? In Portland, we've used it for a number of issues, aging, building community, creating a safe space, that kind of thing. So you can use the peacemaking circle process, in my opinion, for a wide range of issues, themes, conflicts, you know, can be used in the workplace, in schools, and prisons as a result of referrals from the system or not. Helping communities better engage with people in their community. For example, a few weeks ago, I was asked to facilitate circles on two consecutive Thursdays. They were four-hour circles in the near north side of Des Moines, the inner city part of Des Moines, the Riverbend Neighborhood Association. But anyway, we brought together some neighborhood activists, community organizers, people involved with organizations working with that neighborhood to really look at what is this neighborhood? You know, what is the complexion of this neighborhood? What are the things that we do well? What do we still need help with? What needs to be done? Who do we need to collaborate with? So that kind of circle, you do some groundwork, talking to some key people, but you don't have to talk to all 20 people that might be in that kind of circle ahead of time. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, so I did a circle this past year in which a young man made threats via emails to kill some people at a school.
Could I ask how old he was?
He was 16. So after all, after the system did its work, there is a recognition that we need to address community issues.
Right.
We need to bring this young man back into the community. Okay? How do we reintegrate him into the community rather than ostracize? So that circle involved the boy's attorney, parents, superintendent, principal, a couple of students, other parents, trying to get a representation of the community.
Yeah.
And that circle took a couple of months to put together. You know?
So in other words, before they actually sat down in the circle, there were 2 months preparation for that, for the, getting them face to face.
Yeah, not 40 hours a week for 8 weeks, but many phone calls, many personal meetings, three lengthy meetings with the boy because of difficulties he had in social settings.
Right.
Working with his therapist, sitting down with law enforcement and with school people so that they felt comfortable doing this. They'd never done it before. On the other hand, you know, I do circles at churches on, you know, what does my future look like, you know? And you just put up a notice and invite people to come, and we get 10, 12, 15 people in a circle for a couple of hours. I spent last Friday and Saturday with the church in Cedar Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
It was going through a merger, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was going fairly well, but they were being sort of Iowa nice, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really felt there was a need to really look at how did we get here and what are we leaving behind? Where is the sadness? Where is the grief before we can move forward, you know?
Yeah.
Churches and workplaces. Yeah. I mean, if we just step back a little bit and think of often that's how we do communicate normally, you know, in social settings. It's light banter, or maybe we'll get into disagreements over politics, ideologies, et cetera. Or we're in highly structured meetings like board meetings, committee meetings, or that kind of thing. But rarely, if ever, do we say, okay, we're going to set aside an entire evening, we'll say 3 hours, to develop relationships with a dozen or more other people that we may know casually or not. But we're going to take the time to do that, and we're going to have a structure only in that we can use a talking piece so that everybody has an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't be interrupted, and they speak until they're finished, and then it gets passed on. And so it's such a simple process, but nevertheless, it just does not happen in our culture very often.
No, no, it doesn't.
And so you take it into these places, a workplace. For example, I did some work a couple of years ago with a police department and the 15 dispatchers. It's like a dysfunctional family. And so we spent 4 hours with them getting, you know, they worked with each other all the time, you know, but they didn't know each other. And, they did after that evening. And they not only knew each other, but they liked each other in a way that they didn't at the beginning.
So I know you have to be discreet about these things, but can you give us any concrete examples of things that have happened which would bring it alive for people?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I've seen in the what I call community justice circles with police officers and youth of color, even though every time you do it, the participants are different, the way it plays out is the same. There's mistrust, distrust, fear at the beginning. There's a tension. And then you start slowly. I'll give you just sort of a metaphor to consider, an image to consider. I think of the peacemaking circle as somewhat like a... like an eagle or a hawk that's circling in search of prey or already has identified the prey. And unlike a pelican, hawk or eagle, they don't just swoop down. It's almost like they're in a very lazy way, sort of meandering. And then all of a sudden they're there and mm-hmm. they've got the little mouse, you know. And that's sort of like the circle. You don't jump right into the issue of racial profiling or police excessive use of force, et cetera. You don't start there.
Mm.
You start with telling stories about each other. One of the very, very best, I think, entrees into almost any circle, series of questions that are non-intrusive, at least in the early going. And where I like to take people is back to when they were kids, you know? Because when people tell stories about their childhoods, they may be different than ours, but we can connect with them. You know, we can connect with a kid whose father's factory was shut down and the family, you know, went on welfare. We can connect with them, even though we didn't live that life, but we can connect in that, oh my, it's a major event in your life, and I'm sure it shaped your way of thinking. And in fact, it does shape our way of thinking when those kinds of events happen. Or you grow up, and people share stories of growing up with an alcoholic parent or an absent parent, a mentally ill parent, a parent who worked three jobs because they couldn't get a livable wage, you know. So when we hear those early stories or in a circle, it opens people up as a circle keeper, which is where you want, you know.
Mm-hmm,
as
mm-hmm.
a keeper, you carry in you go at the outset of the circle, this place place of feeling where you want people to get to, you know, because you know that's where the magic is. And I love this expression that I heard about a year or two ago that I hold all the time now, which is the peacemaking circle. This plays out in the way that you hope through your design and then through people coming together, is that a collective soul is born. People still remain individuals. It's not like you're a team or a band. There's this, and people know it. You know, they don't. You don't have to use that term. There's just this ease among people near the end, and they don't want to leave it because they're going back out into the other world.
Yeah, and another sort of deeply polarized thing in our culture is, of course, Democrats and Republicans, Trump supporters and the others. Right. And this presumably is something where you really do have to use this slow circling approach.
I wonder you do, if you... and we've done some of those post-election. A couple of things I do in the early stage or two of the circle is take them back to a time where I ask them, how do you think you came to have the ideology or the political beliefs you have or vote the way that you do? And the very first time I did this, I think it was in January, and it was a post-election circle. And the responses were all from the head. They were all intellectual. I read this, I saw this, blah, blah, blah. And so the talking piece came back around to me, and I said, you know, that was good, but let's try speaking from the heart this next time, mm-hmm. you know. And in order to do that, I pose a question like, can you remember an early time in your life that looking back now, you can see, that contributed to my worldview, my ideological, political view, you know. Well, that's not an intellectual or head thing. That's very much coming, that's a visceral heart thing. It's like they're coming together because of this post-election thing, and they know that we should be able to talk to each other. But then when we come together, I get into my camp, they get into their camp, you know, and we try to win the argument, you know.
Sure.
And so you got to pull them out of that. Because if you get started down that path early on, you're done for. It's going to be the usual talking over, dismissing, that kind of thing. So you got to pull them out of that to someplace 20, 30, 40 years before Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton weren't on their radar, you know.
And what was on their radar, maybe, that's relevant?
Oftentimes it's around poverty or privilege, race, that kind of thing, where they...
But they have experiences from way back.
From way back, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do the same thing when you have a conflict, particularly between people who have had a relationship before. You know, you're come together to mediate or have a dialogue or a circle around where people are in the middle of considerable tension. But I always try to take them back to, if I know that they were friends 2, 3, 5 years ago, you don't say, let's relive this, but, you know, what was it like? How did you meet? What attracted you to Mary? You know, what were the things you did? You know, why is it that you hung out with Mary and not with somebody else? You know, sort of pretty simple, sounds really simple.
Sure, yeah.
But you want them to re-experience those good feelings, right? So then when you come back to the conflict, there's been a dissipation of the negative energy. There's just a core group of us that think, let's set our ideologies aside and be that small group in our community that can help other people come together and have conversations where there's a gap that's bridged, you know. You have to approach it very delicately and patiently, but they're human beings, and I think all human beings are wired to be in circle because of our early history.
Now, if people or organizations want to get in touch with you, can you give them some contact information?
Sure. They can call me. I mean, I divide my time primarily between Iowa and Maine. I do a fair amount of work in Michigan, too, with some communities up there. Actually, I'll just tell you quickly, I'm excited about this. Later in September, I'm going to a community in northwest Michigan, that, like many communities, in the middle of an opiate crisis. And we're going to do a series of community circles, 15 to 20 people each, with law enforcement, judges, addicts, family members of addicts, et cetera, people from the treatment community. And then we're going to come together and have a community meeting after maybe 5 of these community circles. So it's exciting, but they want to do something they don't know. They haven't taken the time to to learn about each other's perspectives. You know, what are the challenges that law enforcement meets when dealing with somebody? They're dealing with somebody's conduct, but yet that person has an addiction, you know. Mm-hmm. And they haven't taken the time to understand that, you know, because mm-hmm. they're just doing their job. And likewise, the addict doesn't understand where deputy's coming from or the street officer's coming from. So that's exciting for me to go into a community, you know, and not know anyone other than a couple of organizers and just be with people. And there'll be a lot of pain there, you know, and a lot of grief there over lives lost and years lost and children lost, you know. But anyway, my contact information, I mean, I can be emailed at FVL, Fred Van Loo, FVL, mediation, not meditation, but mediation, mediation, @gmail.com. Or I can be called at 515-444-9384.
Okay, I'll just repeat that. It's FVL, which are Fred's initials, FVL, yeah. Mediation @gmail.com, or phone 515-444-9384.
Thank you for supporting KHOIFM.org. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Find archives of all past shows at archive.khoifm.org. See you again on the radio.